Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until 10, and it is the 20th of February. Wow, February has entered its 20s, which means that it's still living at home with the parents until it's 28, at which point it will emigrate to March. That's what's happening. Send us your doodle thoughts and notions, as ever, to the WhatsApp number. And I know O isn't a number, but it's nicer sounding than 0. 087 032 32 32. And your emails are welcome too. That's at oliver@rte.ie. There you go now. Speaking of the housing crisis, of course, the media is awash with reaction to the announcement, in inverted commas, that the government is, in inverted commas, considering a relaxation of the planning laws around the garden cabins, detached extensions, I heard mentioned, Lifeline, prefab houses at the back of bungalows right across the country. Great! They're thinking about slowly legalising something that's already been happening for years, you know. It's modular houses down the back of lanes, garden sheds been rented out for the price of a second-hand van every month. Already going on. It's kind of like announcing a consideration of relaxing the rules governing nine-year-olds driving tractors during silage season. You're 50 years far too late there. Anyway, by the way, there is a bit of background chatter that those relaxation of planning rules may never happen at all because there has been no official acknowledgement that they're even being considered. But I suppose the good thing is that the Dáil is talking about the housing crisis again, because I would say for the most of last year, it seemed like housing had just become another acceptably unsolvable problem. So the conversation is happening on both sides of the chamber, of course. Now, there is lots of coverage in the press this morning after this programme yesterday effectively started the presidential election of 2025. And we did it entirely on purpose, yes. The vote, by the way, is likely the Friday of the October bank holiday weekend. So quite a stretch away from here. And here with us Wednesday morning, Linda Martin became the first person to say publicly that she's considering a run. So there's the headline in the Irish Sun. Why not me? Eurovision star Linda Martin yesterday claimed a political party has asked her to run for president. And also in the Daily Mail, it's in nearly every paper, you should be able to, oh, that's a different thing. Lady President, why me? It sounds bizarre. Let's just say that I'm mulling it over. Some less kind people are saying, why her? But the Daily Mail actually went and spoke to all of the political parties, and they say Fine Gael, Sinn Féin, the Social Democrats, the Green Party, People Before Profit and AIM2 all said they had not approached Linda Martin. Fianna Fáil declined to comment, but a source told the Mail they knew nothing about it. A Labour spokeswoman replied, lol, when asked if they'd approached Linda Martin. Now, that's the official word from the parties, but of course somebody quietly in the background of the party can well start approaching people to sound them out so that the HQ can deny it. And there are, of course, technical groups who are effectively parties for Dáil purposes. And I notice Independent Ireland is not mentioned here either. They maybe haven't got in touch with them. You can get in touch with us, of course. 51551 is the text if you want to stick your oar in there. But the race for the oars has begun. That's a thing. It's a real thing. Yeah. Linda Martin, she will let us know in due course whether she's going to officially go ahead and seek the nomination or not, I'm sure. We have a great show for you today, by the way. I'm going to be speaking with a fascinating woman, Linda Irvine. She's from Loyalist East Belfast. She grew up as an atheist and left school as a teenager, 15. Became a mammy at 16. She was a granny by 33, but she returned to education when she was in her 30s and she became a teacher. But along the way, she took taster courses in Irish and she now heads up Turris, which is an Irish language project based in the heart of East Belfast. Who would have thought it? Herself, she is married to Brian Irvine. He's a former leader of the PUP, which you remember, the Loyalist Hardliners, all the way through the talks. Very prominent Loyalist pair of them. And she's very interesting things to say about Irishness, the identity, language, education, the whole lot. So we're going to be talking to her. And speaking of the Teanga, you'll recall that housing debate last week that went off the reservation when the Taoiseach accused Sinn Féin President Mary Lou MacDonald of Ag Inseant Bréaga, which is now a phrase for the ages in Ireland. And that was picked up, of course, by Pearse Doherty with his Gael Góir ears. But it was missed by the Ceann Comhairle Verona Murphy. And now there's a big conversation underway about competency in the first language of the state, because it is among our elected representatives and the officers of Dáil Éireann itself. And I'd say Gael Góir around the country are quietly outraged that Gael Galifa, fluency in Irish, wasn't a consideration when choosing the Ceann Comhairle position. And again yesterday when they've elected a new Leas Ceann Comhairle and a Leas Cathaoirleach of the Seanad. Especially since there's quite a lot of Irish spoken in the chamber, both chambers, all of the time. And now we have this Leas Ceann Comhairle, John McGuinness from Kilkenny, and he's been acknowledging his own shortcomings on the Teanga.
Finally, I want to just mention the Gaeilge versus Béarla and the debate that has gone on in this house, actually in standing orders. It clearly states in standing orders that the language is English and Irish. And while I may not be a fluent Gaelgor, I can tell you I have a great love for the Irish language. We'll use it occasionally as best I can. And I would say to all of you here that there is no embarrassment about not being able to speak fully the Irish language. And we should try it every time we get the opportunity. But to be respectful to everyone, if you do say something in Irish in the middle of a heated debate, it might be no harm if you repeat it in English thereafter. It might avoid an awful lot of work and committees and debate in this house.
Leas Ceann Comhairle, John McGuinness, having an old bit of a dig there at his old frenemy, Micheál Martin. He's a Fianna Fáil man, John McGuinness. And the Ceann Comhairle, Verona Murphy, she has also been out and making a new commitment.
I take on board the comments today and I undertake to improve my Irish to a level that is commensurate with the office I now hold.
There she is. So she's going to do exactly what, because we had Joe McHugh on here, was it last week or the week before? He was a former Gaeltacht minister from Donegal who had a lot of protests about his lack of Irish when he became the minister for the regions that speak us Gaeilge every day. Gach Law, and he went off and he brushed up on his Irish and he's now completely fluent and he says, "Bay too, all right, you'll be grand, have a bit of confidence in yourself." So Verona Murphy's following that path. I wonder, will John McGuinness be going to do the same thing? Sure, he can let us know. By the way, when she was saying that, that was when she first became Ceann Comhairle, before all of the roolia boolia about a Cinsin Bréagha. I should correct myself. Aengus O'Snodig of Sinn Féin, who ran unsuccessfully for Leas Ceann Comhairle yesterday, he brought up speaking Irish and he said that in a bilingual house with two official languages, we need a chair who can monitor it and, if necessary, step in and apply the rules and protections of this house equally to everyone, whether it's as Gaeilge, no as Béarla. He said, "Gaeilge was my first language. I could not speak English properly until I was seven." And there was laughter, says here in the Irish Times, when he said, "Most people say I cannot speak it probably still, but I'm most comfortable speaking in Irish. He works as Gaeilge, he thinks as Gaeilge," and that's his conclusion there. By the way, the Leas Ceann Comhairle, it's a lovely job to be to get these positions. What has he got himself an increase, John McGuinness? 113,679 is the base TD's salary. So he's got an increase of €61,892. So €62,000. And of course, Ceann Comhairle is on, well, I'll have to add that up, 250, paid more than the Taoiseach, €254,000 a year, the Ceann Comhairle of Verona Murphy. And there's also a driver with that job. Lots of staff as well, because it's an important job. Loads of international travel, because they go to meet the other speakers of parliaments around the world. And of course, you don't have to run for election for 10 years if the governments run full term, because they're automatically returned in the TD. There's also the election yesterday of the Leas Cathaoirleach. Fine Gael Senator Maria Byrne was elected the Leas Cathaoirleach of the Seanad by 36 votes to 15. It was a public vote, despite expectations of some senators, defeating Independent Senator Eileen Flynn, who's a campaigner for Travellers and Minority Rights. There's no commentary on her proficiency in the Irish language. And once again, the Seanad is the poor cousin, basically. But there you go. The story is we've the new vice chairs, deputy speakers, Leas Ceann Comhairle, all those terms in the House of Oireachtas. And sure, when you're saying those words, you are speaking Irish. With no connection whatsoever, straight to archaeology, digging up remains of things from the past. There were two significant archaeological discoveries on different sides of the world yesterday. One of them in County Derry, the other one in Egypt. We'll go to Derry first of all. Ancient human remains uncovered in the bog, believed to be around 2,000 years old, and it's a young woman, which is fascinating because initially the remains were thought, when they were discovered some months ago, or well, it's actually 2 years ago, they thought the remains belonged to a boy between the age of 13 and 17. So this is the official identification has occurred yesterday. The individual was about 5 foot 6 inches tall, because people were smaller back then, but there was no skull found. And all the gory details are usually acceptable in these things from 2,000 years ago. Research found cut marks on the neck, basically, indicate the cause of death was a sacrificial, probably an intentional decapitation that happened in the bog. So it was a pattern. It might be part of ritual and sacrifice during this. This is the Iron Age period over 2,000 years ago, which is between 300 and 1 BC, basically. That's the Iron Age era. Part of a woven item made of plant material also recovered from below the knees is thought to be part of an associated artefact, which they're still trying to identify what that is. But the naming convention for archaeology in Ireland is the townland where the remains are found paired with the sex of the individual. So these remains are now referred to as the Ballymacombs Moor woman. Ballymacombs Moor, that's a townland outside Ballaghy in County Derry. Initially thought to be a boy, now a woman. So you can see the right would probably be going, ah, this is diversity gone mad altogether. To have a female bog woman. And meanwhile, in Egypt, it's extraordinary stuff. This is for the Egyptologists out there now. The tomb of an ancient Egyptian pharaoh has been found for the first time. This is the first tomb of an Egyptian king found since Tutankhamun's tomb was unearthed in 1922, over a century ago. So a British and Egyptian team have been digging in the west bank of the Nile near Luxor, and they uncover the burial chamber of Thutmose II in 2022, but it was identified only as the king's tomb recently. So they found a chamber and they've been digging away for 3 years, and yesterday the breakthrough where they saw it was decorated and they went, oh my God, this is the tomb of a king. Thutmose II ruled 3,500 years ago during the 18th dynasty, if you know your Egyptology. The mummy is missing, but there are fragments and so on, enough to say that this is the pharaoh, and they reckon that the tomb during its lifetime in ancient Egypt underwent a flood, and so they moved the contents back in the past, and the mummy were moved to an undiscovered crypt nearby. So they're looking for that at the moment. They're searching for the final resting place of this pharaoh and the tomb's original contents. It's great excitement there for them. But there has never been an intact tomb of a pharaoh discovered ever. Even the burial chamber of Tutankhamun showed evidence of robbery. So there you go. And the reason they took so long to find this one, 100 years, is because they've been searching near the Valley of the Kings for so long, but it was actually found at the other end, at the at a different valley, basically. They were looking in the wrong place, and they basically found it. Yeah. Jumping back to the presidential election, someone says, in relation to Linda Martin, I hope Twink doesn't run against her. That's a reopening of old battles, old wars there. A thought for every day. When speaking of Taoiseach and Tánaiste, refer to them as An Taoiseach and An Tánaiste rather than the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste. Well, that's now that you'll have to open style guides now, and there'll be all sorts of them with the style guides in the White House are nearly, oh my God, there's boycotts of journalists and everything going on there. Given the imminent start of the Phoenix Park race to the Áras, An Áras, on Uachtaráin, can we please make Gaelic fluency a mandatory qualification? Our Uachtaráin needs to be able to distinguish between truth agus breaga, the truth and mistruth, or is it truth and lies? We'll have to find out, because an Uachtas committee is going to be discovering that. And apparently Mary McAleese, she was not fluent, but she went to the same Gaelic region as Joe McHugh, Glen Columbkill in Donegal, and she brushed up on her Irish, and I think she was down in the Burren as well, listening to music and using her Gaelge every single year. But of course, the current president, Micheál de O'Higgins, very, very fluent. I mean, he's so fluent in the Irish, you'd have to dig up bog body remains and get them speaking to understand some of the beautiful bloss that he uses, or chongolin, or fad. But the countdown to his long, long 2 terms as president is underway, which is kind of cruel, isn't it? You can count on one hand the TDs who can pronounce Taoiseach correctly, well, in various dialects. But Taoiseach is the shorthand for, you know, people who are not proficient. Oh, this is I didn't realise this is such a minefield. Quickly, play some music. 9:17. We are going to have a great conversation about this. And there's a fascinating history of Protestants and their use of Irish in the 19th century, all coming up later. But first, we'll have some... Ah, yeah, this will be nice.